We're going to talk to all of you out there, and I can't wait because it feels like tonight, after I've been here almost 2 years telling people how good Colby Rasmus is, I think tonight we're finally going to hear from a lot of Blue Jays fans who wanted Colby Rasmus to stay in this game. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We're going to Blue Jays talk it up, right up to the bottom of the hour. The key moment in this game for a lot of people, not so much for me, was in the bottom of the seventh inning when Hector Santiago came on to pitch, the lefty, and John Gibbons pinch hit Rajay Davis for Colby Rasmus. Colby Rasmus doesn't hit left-handed pitching well. Rajay Davis does hit left-handed pitching well. It's a tie game, late. Yes, you're taking out your best defensive center fielder, but you're giving yourself a chance to get the leadoff man on, a much better chance to put the leadoff man on, even though Colby was already 2-for-2 in the game. I believe it was the right move. It didn't work, and it showed up even later in the ninth inning when Emilio Bonifacio made a bad read on that Diane Viciado double. I think Rasmus probably catches that ball. There are others who disagree with me. But remember, too, that simply pinch-hitting for Colby Rasmus in the bottom of the seventh inning created an entirely new space-time continuum. So that situation in the ninth probably doesn't even come about if Rasmus is still in the game. The surprising thing for me is that John Gibbons didn't go to Casey Jansen to pitch the ninth. And Gibby's been really good at turning his bullpen around, tie game at home late, and starting to go backwards when you get to the point where there's no possible save situation, and using the closer at that point. Not sure why he did that. It'll be interesting to hear what John Gibbons has to say about that. Right now we go to the phones. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin with Frank in Markham, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Frank, you're the leadoff man on the Blue Jays talk.
Thank you. Let's get right to it. Before you came on, Mike, Jerry was saying, these are important games in April, games the Jays should be winning. And yet, our manager takes out our best defensive outfielder because he can't hit lefties. But during the game, he's 2-for-2, hits another jack. You know, he's swinging the bat pretty well.
Not against lefties.
That's fine. But is this guy supposed to be a 5-tool player? Give the guy a chance. Are you not trusting your bullpen? If say they go score this in the seventh, which they did anyways, you can't trust your bullpen who's been lights out to finish the game off for you? You have to pinch hit right there in that situation.
You have to score a run. You have to give yourself...
They scored a run in the ninth, Mike. They scored a run in the ninth.
Right. Don't you have to give yourself the best possible... I mean, this is open for debate. There's no exact right move here. I think the right move is to try to score the run.
Mike, if they had Anthony Ghost on the bench,
uh-huh,
by all means, pinch hit, put Davis in, you pull up Bonifacio, you put Ghost in center field, no problem. I'm sorry, Bonifacio cannot play center field. He showed on that play. It's going to show again if he goes back in there in any key situation. You got to lead your best center fielder, probably one of the best in the game for that situation. It was such an error. I couldn't believe it as I was watching the game. I had Twitter. I followed you. I understood your point. I still do. A 2-for-2.
But you didn't say on Twitter, why did he take Rasmus out until after, if you did say anything, anything to me on Twitter until after Rajay Davis got out.
I really don't tweet. I just follow people to get information.
Right.
But I understand your point about the lefties. But Mike, he was having a good game. He's such a good defender. You don't know the situations they don't in the game for a defensive play. And he comes up with them most of the time. He's such a good... Oh, man. It was just so weird because you have Bonifacio playing center field. It's not like you had Anthony Ghost in center field. That's a totally different situation. He threw away a game today. It's not all on Gibbons, but it could have been avoided, and it could have been easily a win. And I don't know. We need some... We're going to put a streak together, like Jerry was saying, and it's hard doing it like this. I don't know, but I agree with you, but I'm just frustrated with that call.
Okay, Frank, appreciate it. And again, there's no right answer there, and very often the right move doesn't work out. I think going for the offense there is the right move, and... But certainly there's no absolute right or wrong. And, you know, let's not forget, too, the back-to-back walks to lead off the ninth inning by Steve Delabarre. Those were kind of key. Antonio is in Ottawa listening on 1310 News. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I think you hit it right on the head when you said the lack of move by Gibbons to bring in Casey Jansen into the game in the ninth inning. I just think looking at the situation, looking at the, you have your three, four, five hitters coming up in the bottom of the ninth inning. It's your pretty much your best chance to score and win the game. So I would think he would bring in Casey Jansen, just like he brought in Rodger Davis to pinch hit for Rasmus in the seventh inning, because you can't look ahead and think that Rasmus may get another at bat later in the game, or that you'd go into extra innings, right? Even though you're taking out your best defense, I think that's sort of the same situation he should have applied to with the bullpen. So I think the big move in the ball game was not bringing in Casey Jansen in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I agree with you, and not because Steve Delabarre walked the first two guys he faced in that ninth inning, but because one would think that was the spot for Casey Jansen tonight. And Jansen was up in the bullpen, and he was warmed up, and a lot of us expected to see him come in the ninth inning. And I'm curious to find out why that wasn't the case. Thanks for the call, Antonio. Before we get to the next caller, let's give a listen to John Gibbons, who had his post-game news conference where he spoke to the media, and let's see if that question was asked. Here's Gibby.
Thoughts on Johnson and his performance today?
Sure, I thought he was terrific. I thought maybe early on he was overthrown a little bit, then he settled in, did a great job. They scored the runs, on a wild pitch and in a solo home run. So he kept us in the game, their guy did too. Shut us down. We hit some balls hard, we're right at guys, but we're still waiting for the offense to break out,
How did you think Laurie looked in his first game back?
Pardon me?
What did you think of Laurie's first game?
Sure, he made some great plays over there at third base. Tremendous range, good arm, Yeah, it's good to see him out there.
John, you said pregame that Bautista may be available for you in a spot. Was there at some point in the game?
Yeah, he wasn't ready to pinch hit. That's basically, yeah, he wasn't ready. Hopefully he's ready tomorrow. We'll see.
John, in preaching defense for the last little while and then taking Rasmus out for a pinch hitter, can you explain that?
Well, it's a tie game. You got the lefty, a tough lefty coming up. That's kind of what we got Raj. We looked at it. We got Raj maybe hit for Lind and even Rasmus in certain times. Leading off the inning. If there was an out or two, it probably wouldn't have done it, but leading off an inning, maybe get something going there. As far as defense, the throw home, it was a little wide. If it's on the money, he's out probably pretty easily, but it was a little bit wide. So, we're just in a tie game there, the eighth inning, trying to get against a tough lefty, get a right-hander, get on base. Raj gets on, he can make some things happen.
Gibby, on the 3-2 pitch to Konerko that led to the walk, did it look like Delbar get squeezed a bit on that one?
Oh, I don't know. Aaron Seabee said, they were off a little bit. They were close. That's the thing. He was throwing good. He walked a couple guys, but he was sticking it. But you walk a couple guys, that hurts. That sets the table. And then he got the big strikeout, you figure you can handle Vicieto, and Vicieto had put a good bat and got the big hit, I tell you, they got a good bullpen. You got to try to get to their starters. And tomorrow night and the next night, two lefties are pretty good. So, it won't be easy.
No, it won't. The Blue Jays will look to pick up a couple of wins and get to 500. They haven't been 500 since they stepped on the field this year at 0-0. So the question not asked, or maybe asked a little bit later, privately, not sure, about bringing out Delabarre for a second inning and not going to Casey Jansen in that situation. For those who are thinking, well, it wasn't a save situation, why go to your closer? Once you get into the ninth inning at home and you're tied or trailing, there cannot be a safe situation for the home team. Phone lines are open. We are Blue Jays talking it up to the bottom of the hour at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Charlie in London, listening on a very strong Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome aboard, Charlie.
Thanks. I'm just wondering why Johnson is throwing a 3-0 fastball to Konerko. in the seventh.
Because he thought he could throw it past him.
But he's the slowest guy in the league. Why not just walk him?
Well, I don't know that you walk the leadoff man intentionally when you're up by a run in the seventh inning. I think you try to get a guy out. Lots of times, pitchers come back from 3-0 and get people out.
Yeah, but they know Konerko's got the green light.
Well, I don't know if they know Konerko's got the green light. I think it's the right move to give him the green light in that situation. Yeah. But certainly, Paul Konerko is not going to hit every fastball he sees in the seats on a 3-0 pitch. I don't think you give up in that at bat. You have to still try to get the guy out.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's a bad pitch selection anyway. But
what was a bad pitch?
I'd rather
wound
see
up
him go
in
after
seats.
The next guy.
I think it's a bad move to walk the leadoff guy.
Yeah, even if it's Konerko?
Yes. Okay. Even if it's Konerko, even if you're down 3-0. And I wonder if you would have thought that before that pitch was hit. Paul Konerko, by the way, in his career has put a 3-0 pitch in play 218 times, and he's hit 23 home runs. There's a lot of times where he hasn't done it. And that's not counting the swing and misses when he has a green light 3-0. Sean in Markham, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I'll just get right to it. I was a little disappointed when I was just waiting just to hear the explanation why Jansen wasn't in, because I was just as curious as you were. But anyway, I'm not going to take up too much time. I just want to say thanks a lot for keeping the Jays fans positive. And just response to the last caller, like, come on, like, leadoff walks kill you in this game. And you got to go after it on a 3-0 count. That's the bottom line. And with response to, like, Rajee Davis pinch hitting, you know, yes, Rasmus did have a great game, but baseball's a game of numbers, and you got to go with the guy that has the higher percentages against the lefty. That's it.
And it's not like, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And it's not like they're insignificant. I mean, it's not like Rajee Davis is only a little bit better than Colby Rasmus against lefties. And I got to say, again, I'm loving all the people who are calling in praising Colby. Because I've spent years trying to convince you that he's actually a good baseball player, or convince a lot of you. I want to paint you all with one brush. Colby Rasmus is a career 207 hitter against lefties with a 630 on base percentage. So, you know, this is, yes, he's 2-for-6 this year, but you look at what he's done over the course of his career, and what he's done over the course of his entire career is not hit left-handed pitching well at all. Rajee Davis, 289 career hitter against left-handed pitching with a 764 OPS. So you're getting a much, much better hitter there. And that's why you make that move. If Jose Bautista had been available, then that probably would have been a decent spot for him. But Jose Bautista, not available. Blue Jays lose it, 4-3 to the Chicago White Sox. Let's go to James in New York City, listening on Sportsnet590.ca.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I agree a little bit with you about, obviously, with the Rajee Davis thing, but I'm absolutely furious with the whole picture with the Gibbons move, and I'll tell you why. It's because, obviously, you've already given the numbers of why Colby shouldn't be in that spot, but at some point, and especially it is important in April, there's a reason why. And let's already take out the fact that he was 2-for-2 in the game.
Okay.
And swinging a hot bat. We know that. But at some point, at the young age that Colby is, and we're all waiting for his quote-unquote breakout season,
yep,
these are the at-bats at a tie game, not down a run. That may be different when you're down a run, but when it's a tie game, and you're a leadoff batter, these are the at-bats that you have to give lefties, a guy like that, to face a lefty. You have to test them at some point. Are you going to...
Yeah, I don't agree. I think the at-bats that you give lefties to test them against lefties is when you're up 5 or down 5 late in the game.
But when is that ever going to test what he's made of? At some point, we want him to be the center fielder of the future. And at some point, he has to hit in a pressure situation. In April is a lot better than in a playoff run or when it, you know, you understand? Like,
I understand, but in a playoff game, he's not hitting in a pressure situation against a left-handed pitcher.
But
he's
but
just
he
not. There
be,
are some guys who just don't do that.
if he had a chance to prove himself at the young age that he is.
Right, so he proves himself in low-pressure situations, and once he starts showing that he can hit lefties in low-pressure situations, you give him the opportunity to try to hit them in potentially in high-pressure situations.
I just think there's a reason, Mike, there's a reason why that they showed on television, on the telecast, him accepting the fact that, you know, when Gibbons had a talk with him, because if he's a gamer, which we know he is, even though he was like a team man, he accepted it. It must have been just killing him inside, like it was killing me, probably killing you deep down inside, because I know you're a Rasmus fan. Give him a chance to swing the hot bat that he has, because you know what? It was Rajah Davis. It wasn't Jose Bautista. It was, and I know that you gave, you know, his 289 batting average and everything like that, but Rajah Davis is a horrible leadoff batter for his speed. He doesn't walk. He swings at horrible pitches outside with two strikes. To me,
Generally against right-handed pitching.
It was a lose-lose situation. And we all know that that ball was not hit deep. And with a perfect read, which Colby gives most of the time, Colby has that ball the next inning in his back pocket.
Yeah, I thought Colby Rasmus would have caught that ball too. But
absolutely.
Who knows what happens? If Rasmus stays in the game.
You can't predict it 100%.
You can't even consider that same situation will arise.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, when you add everything up together, I just think this is a time. And even the same thing with Adam Lynn. Then you've got to let these guys, give these guys a chance this year. You have to put your best players in the lineup more than Gibbons is doing. He's, you know, too much chess matches early on. Just let them swing away. Let them try it. It's frustrating, I guess.
Yeah, I don't agree at all. I mean, I don't think that's the way you win ball games. You look back to when Bobby Cox managed the Blue Jays, and he platooned like there was no tomorrow, and he always had his players in the situations where they were best equipped to succeed. And that's what John Gibbons is doing here. I see your point. I just don't agree. I think that you have, you know, when you want to give a guy an opportunity to hit against a left-handed pitcher who doesn't hit left-handed pitchers well, you don't do it in a high-pressure situation. You let them work their way up to that, and Colby Rasmus is working his way up to that. Appreciate the call. Jeremy in Toronto, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, I'm still waiting for the day where you actually disagree with the move the Jays make. I think you're missing the point.
I'll disagree if it's the wrong move. I disagreed with bringing Delabar in to start the ninth.
Okay, well, I think you're missing the whole point. This has nothing to do with Rasmus and Davis. If you look at the situation, it's the seventh inning of a 2-2 game. We have a short bench.
Yep.
We have no one to pinch run. You know Lind is going to be coming up either in a key situation in the eighth if we get a couple hits, or he's going to be up in the ninth and get on.
Or you can take the lead in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Yeah, but by what? By what? Rajah getting on. He's hitting 200 anyways. Then who do you have hitting behind him? You have Asturias, you have Kawasaki and Bonifacio, all 200 hitters or below. I mean, it's not
so
like
what you're saying is just
behind him.
Give up the seventh inning because the bottom of the lineup
up?
Is up.
You have Rasmus, a guy who's 2-for-2, who's got a homer, and he's your best center fielder.
You just dismissed Rajah Davis out of hand because he's hitting 200 this year,
No.
Rasmus is hitting 207 against lefties for his career.
Okay, but I'm saying the situation in the game. It's the seventh inning of a game.
Right.
And you know there's going to be a more important situation in the game, which actually
no, you don't.
In the ninth inning.
No, you don't. You really don't know that there's going to be a more important situation in the game. You may never get a base runner on again.
But Mike, they did.
Yes, they did, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that was going to happen.
I'm not saying it was going to happen.
Well, you are. Mike, you may have a bigger situation later in the game. You may never get an opportunity to score a run again in the ball game.
But it's a seventh inning of a 2-2 game. It's not the key point in the game.
Why not?
You know that you have a guy like, why isn't it? Because
why
it's not.
Isn't it? Why would you plan in advance for a situation that might never arise?
Because that's how baseball is played.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
why
think
you have
so.
A bench. That's why you didn't like, you know, I don't know, we're facing two lefties. Does that mean Rasmus isn't going to get the start for the next 2 days?
He may not.
He might not. Why?
He might
so
not.
A guy like Bonifacio, who is terrible, he's the worst fielder I've seen at four positions now, not just not just one position. The guy still gets a start. Why? Because he's a switch hitter, and he can hit terribly from the left and right side of the plate. I mean, it's not Gibby's first time around. We had this last time he was with us. He doesn't know how to manage his team properly. He falls in love with the wrong players. I think it's obvious that Bonifacio is not the guy. I don't know why he's leading off and playing terrible defense for us when Gibbons told, you know, one of his things was he wants to stress good defense. We have the bats in the lineup. We don't need a Bonifacio. And the fact that Reyes is out, our leadoff guy, and Davis hasn't had a chance to start and lead off yet this year, when Bonifacio, a guy who I think is 0-for-9 in bunt attempts this year, and every at-bat he comes up, he's leading off with a bunt attempt. I mean, you're pulling a guy, Rasmus, and you have Isturiz, Kawasaki, and Bonifacio up next. So even if that guy gets on, you don't have anyone to hit them to drive those runs in. So if you're saying Davis is a better option than Rasmus, he's definitely a better option than all three of those guys if someone gets on. Or even if they don't, and there's two outs in the inning.
Or he gets on, he steals second, he goes to third on a ground ball, and he scores on a sacrifice fly, which we've seen happen many, many times. Jeremy, I appreciate your calling in to vent. I appreciate your frustration and your anger. Thanks for the call. Let's go up to Orangeville. Jeff, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. You know, tonight with Rasmus is just a small picture in the bigger picture. We're just not scoring runs with guys in scoring position. And I think that's going to go a lot farther for the entire season than one play in one game. You know, bases loaded, one out, don't cash him in. Detroit series, Bautista came up twice with runners in scoring position out on the first pitch. And, you know, when you get runners to second base with less than two outs, with one out, you got to get those guys home. And I think that's a bigger picture for the entire season rather than just one pinch hit tonight.
It is a big deal. You're right that the Blue Jays aren't scoring a lot of runs. And you're right, it is bigger than that tonight. The Blue Jays didn't have a lot of opportunities with runners in scoring position tonight, actually. They were 0-for-1 as a team with runners in scoring position. But yeah, in the overall, they're just not scoring a lot of runs. They've had a very good start from every starting pitcher this turn through the rotation, and yet they're 2-2 because in these four games, they've only scored 12 runs. So a good point, Jeff. Thank you. Appreciate it. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. Chris is in Oakville. Chris, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead. Anytime. Okay. Thanks for the call. One would think you already knew how I am by the other six people who called and asked. And you wouldn't have called just to ask that question, but I appreciate your concern. Sam is in Toronto listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, Mike?
Still good, Sam.
I'm going to switch gears a little. I'm in agreement. This was really the first game of the year that I had a few gripes with Gibbons, some of Gibbons' decisions, but I'm switching gears here. You know, with the talk of moving Laurie to second base, I think the absence of Bautista in right field today and yesterday, for that matter, there were two throws that, you never know, his arm could have changed there, and the play of Laurie today at third, I think that was a big testament to keep Laurie at third and Bautista in right field, in addition to the suspicion that perhaps the move to third had something to do with Bautista's bad back. And then couple that with the fact that it's, you know, even if you have Laurie at second, it's not like you're getting a real huge bat to stick out there, to stick into the lineup at any point. But, yeah, like that's all I'm saying. Bautista missing in right and Laurie's play at third, I think you keep him there just on the way it's happening.
And I think that's what they're going to wind up doing. And I, you know, I think that they hope that that Laurie can be a pretty big, effective bat. I don't know that you're right to dismiss him because he didn't have a great year offensively in his first full season in the major leagues as a 22-year-old. But I do think that they think he can be a bigger bat. But talking to Alex Anthopoulos yesterday and John Gibbons today, we're not expecting to see any Brett Laurie at second base. And you're right, his play today at third kind of showed why you want him there. And the throws from Davis today and Bonifacio on Sunday in Kansas City kind of showed why you want Jose Bautista in right field. Thanks for the calls. Apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. Blue Jays fall 4-3 to the Chicago White Sox. and we'll be back to take a look at the scoreboard, wrap this thing up. It's a Honda postgame show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. We are all done here at Rogers Center. The Blue Jays fall 4-3 to the Chicago White Sox. Sox score 2 in the ninth off of Steve Delabar and Darren Oliver, and not this four-game series at one win apiece. Quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Red Sox lead the Tribe 7-2. That game is in the top of the ninth inning. The Yankees already have a win tonight. They beat Arizona 4-2. Top of the ninth in Baltimore, the Orioles trying to close it out with a 5-4 lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. What do you know, another one-run lead for those Baltimore Orioles. We are back at it here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern, for a 7:07 first pitch. Battle of lefties, Jay Happ against Jose Quintana. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Dirk Hayhurst, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.